This is Lynn Curry reading the News Gazette for Monday, November 2nd, 2020. Local news. Sunday's coronavirus updates. Champaign County adds 100 cases. 7-day positivity rates rise in Region 6 to 9.3%. Douglas County, 15.4%. Hold on UI campus, 0.4%. By Jeff D'Alessio. The number of confirmed cases in Champaign County grew by an even 100 Sunday to 6,498. Other Champaign County coronavirus numbers of note. The number of county residents hospitalized with COVID-19 held at 7. Recovered cases outnumber active ones, 5,943, up 74, to 527, up 26. The number of close contacts currently in quarantine rose by 44 to 1,757. Here's an updated rundown of county zip codes with active cases followed by their total number of cases according to CU Public Health District data. 61820 in Champaign, 165 active, up 11 from Saturday, 2,781 total, up 21. 61821 in Champaign, 71 active, up 8 from Saturday, 664 total, up 18. 61866, Rantoul, 55 active, unchanged from Saturday, 534 total, up 12. 61822 in Champaign, 38 active, down 8 from Saturday, 496 total, up 5. 61801, Urbana, 35 active, up 1 from Saturday, 589 total, up 9. 61802 in Urbana, 32 active, up 3 from Saturday, 447 total, up 9. 61873 in St. Joseph, 30 active, up 5 from Saturday, 148 total, up 5. 61853 in Mahomet, 23 active, down 1 from Saturday, 261 total, up 4. 61874 in Savoy, 12 active, unchanged from Saturday, 155 total, up 1. 61880 in Tolono, 12 active, up 1 from Saturday, 98 total, up 4. 61843, Fisher, 11 active, unchanged from Saturday, 60 total, up 3. 61877 in Sydney, 5 active, unchanged from Saturday, 37 total, unchanged. 61878 in Thomasboro, 5 active, unchanged from Saturday, 28 total, up 1. 61816, Broadlands, 5 active, up 2 from Saturday, 11 total, up 2. 61862, Penfield, 5 active, down 1 from Saturday, 8 total, unchanged. 61864, Philo, 4 active, unchanged from Saturday, 36 total, unchanged. 61863, Pasodum, 3 active, up 2 from Saturday, 20 total, up 2. 61875 in Seymour, 3 active, up 2 from Saturday, 13 total, up 2. 61847 in Gifford, 2 active, unchanged from Saturday, 19 total, unchanged. 61859, Ogden, 2 active, unchanged from Saturday, 19 total, unchanged. 61849 in Homer, 2 active, unchanged from Saturday, 17 total, unchanged. 60949, Ludlow, 2 active, down 1 from Saturday, 11 total, unchanged. 61840 in Dewey, 2 active, unchanged from Saturday, 8 total, unchanged. 61872, Sadorus, 2 active, up 1 from Saturday, 8 total, up 1. 61851, Ivesdale, 1 active, up 1 from Saturday, 6 total, up 1. 61871, in Royal, 0 active, unchanged from Saturday, 10 total, unchanged. 61845, in Foosland, 0 active, unchanged from Saturday, 9 total, unchanged. 61810 in Allerton, 0 active, unchanged from Saturday, 1 total, unchanged. The county's pandemic totals, according to the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District, 802,137 tests, not updated since Saturday, 6,498 confirmed cases, 28 fatalities, 10,155 close contacts quarantined, 1,055 close contacts that became positive. Rantoul High, 1 week of remote learning after 6 staffers, 5 students test positive. Rantoul High joined a long list of other area schools in announcing a temporary shift to all remote learning starting Monday. In a Sunday letter to families and staff, Superintendent Scott Amerio said the plan is to move all learning online for 1 week after staff members and 5 students tested positive for COVID-19 in recent days. Quote, the administrative team, along with the school nurse, met this afternoon to evaluate the COVID situation in the school and in the community, Amerio wrote Sunday. In the past week, we have had 6 staff members test positive and 10 other staff members who have had to quarantine. We have had 5 students test positive and 43 other students who have had to quarantine. We feel that our protocols we have in place have allowed us to stay in session this long, but the current transmission rate in the county is extremely high. This has caused an unsafe situation in the building for our students and our staff, as they are exposed to the virus out in the community and then unknowingly bring it into the building. We had hoped that we would not have to exercise this option, but unfortunately, we are at a point where we do need to do that. We will reevaluate later in the week to determine if we need to extend this period of remote instruction and send information to you when we make that determination, end quote. Among the other area schools and districts who have shifted to all remote learning, Unity High, where students are scheduled to return to school on November 10th, following 2 weeks off-site. Superintendent Andy Larson told the News Gazette last Monday night that the move was made in response to, quote, multiple, end quote, confirmed cases. Gibson City Melvin Sibley High, which also moved to 2 weeks of all remote learning after positive tests by, quote, multiple students, end quote, according to Superintendent Jeremy Darnell. The remote period is scheduled to last through Friday. Monticello High, which made the switch on October 19th after 3 positive student tests. Originally scheduled to last a week, Superintendent Vic Zimmerman announced 10 days ago that classes wouldn't resume in person until this Wednesday after more student cases emerged. The Arcola School District, where students have been out since October 20th, is scheduled to resume in-person learning on Wednesday, with Monday being a remote learning day and school out for Tuesday's election day. The Danville School District, where students have been learning at home since October 19th, is also scheduled to resume in-person classes on Wednesday. Rantoul's Broadmeadow Elementary, which announced last Monday it would take a 2-week break from classes after a single employee case led to 20 close contacts being sidelined. Region 6, 10 counties, 7-day positivity rates up, 10 down, 1 unchanged. With new mitigation measures set to take effect at 12:01 a.m. Monday, Region 6's seventh-day positivity rate rose again from 9.0 to 9.3%. For the restrictions to be lifted, the region that includes Champaign, Douglas, Ford, Piatt, Vermilion, and 16 other counties must have 3 consecutive days of a rate under 6.5%. The metrics the state uses cover a period that ends 3 days earlier. Figures announced Saturday are through October 29th and exclude data from UI campus's massive saliva testing. If UI tests were included, the region's rate would be 3.3%. Here's a look at the rolling 7-day rates of the 21 counties that make up Region 6 and how those rates compare to the previous day. Cumberland, 24.6%, down 1.5%. Douglas, 15.4%, up 0.5%. Shelby, 15.0%, down 0.9%. Macon, 14.7%, up 1.0%. Effingham, 12.0%, up 0.8%. Coles, 11.5%, up 0.5%. Vermilion, 9.7%, up 0.5%. Clay, 9.5%, down 0.2%. Jasper, 8.7%, up 2.2%. Moultrie, 8.7%, up 0.2%. Clark, 8.2%, down 0.1%. Crawford, 8.0%, up 0.5%. Iroquois, 8.0%, down 0.4%. DeWitt, 6.6%, up 0.4%. Piatt, 6.5%, even. Ford, 5.8%, down 0.8%. Champaign, 5.6%, down 0.1%. Fayette, 5.5%, down 0.5%. Lawrence, 5.5%, down 0.0%. Richland, 4.8%, down 0.4%. Edgar, 4.3%, up 1.1%. Meanwhile, Governor J.B. Pritzker announced Sunday that the 11th of 11 regions, number 2, covering north central Illinois, would be hit with additional mitigations beginning Wednesday. Region 2 includes Rock Island, Henry, Bureau, Putnam, Kendall, Grundy, Mercer, Knox, Henderson, Warren, McDonough, Fulton, Stark, Marshall, Peoria, Taz. To vote, Centennial Jr. finds a way to play a role in election, by Anthony Zillis. Champaign. Quinn Fisher's first experience at a polling place was in 2008, when Barack Obama won the presidency. He didn't vote, though. After all, he was only 3. Instead, he watched his mother, Leanne Callantine, cast her ballot. Callantine brought her children to ensuing elections, always imparting on them the importance of voting. Quote, "They always thought it was cool to wear an I voted sticker to school," end quote, Callantine said. In the ensuing years, Callantine grew frustrated by what she saw from the voting process across the country. There were too many long lines, and it was difficult for many people to vote. So, 2 years ago, she decided to do something about it, signing up to be an election judge. Quote, "I can't help people in other parts of the country who have those problems," Callantine said, "but I can become an election judge locally, so at least I know I'm helping people be able to exercise their right to vote," end quote. Callantine signed on to work at her polling place. It was a long, tiring day that began before the polls opened at 6 a.m. and ended after they closed at 7 p.m., but it was a rewarding one. This year, Callantine is working as an election judge at the University of Illinois Activities and Recreation Center. And 12 years after attending his first election, Fisher is joining his mother, even though the Centennial Jr. can't yet vote himself. Quote, Quinn's been frustrated, I think, as a lot of people, especially young people, have been about the direction of the country, Kallentine said. When you're not able to vote yet, it's hard to make your voice heard. But this was one way Quinn could participate in being politically active, end quote. Fisher has seen the result of these elections up close. When he was 10, he was one of 150 children chosen to be part of the JDRF Children's Congress, which involved a trip to Washington, D.C. with his mother, where they made a pitch for why funding for the organization, which focuses on juvenile diabetes, was crucial, attended a congressional hearing, and were invited to the offices of U.S. Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat of Illinois, and Representative Rodney Davis, Republican from Taylorville. Quote, "It was just a fun experience," Fisher said. "I got to meet a lot of people like me, and I got to know how the system works, and I got to sit in on things," end quote. This year, there was too much on the line for Fisher not to participate, even though he couldn't vote. So he attended 5 hours of training and passed the necessary exam. Working on campus, mother and son have seen the same attitude from other young people as they introduced them to the voting booth for the first time. Quote, "It was just neat that all of the concerned people are being so engaged in politics," Kallentine said. "The college kids have been so patient and polite, and they've been taking it so seriously. A lot of them said they really researched the different candidates, so it's just fun to be part of their first voting experience," end quote. Pond renovation, roofs, trails, top forest preserve districts to-do list if tax hike passes. By Dave Hinton. Muhammad. Water, bike trails, and roofing jobs are among the top projects on the Champaign County Forest Preserve District's to-do list if voters approve a tax increase Tuesday. The district is seeking a hike of 1.6 cents per $100 of assessed valuation, which would raise the property taxes of a home valued at $100,000 by $5.33 a year. It would be the first tax increase approved by voters since 1948. Voters turned down a hike in 2008. Forest Preserve District Executive Director Mary Ellen Woolner said the increase would bring in about $700,000 annually. Number one on the list of projects those funds would pay for, restoring Willow Pond at Middle Fork River Forest Preserve in rural Penfield, at a projected cost of $450,000. The pond, with the only beach in the county, has a leak that needs to be sealed, and it will be given a new look. Quote, "We've actually done a little fundraising, our foundation, for the pond project," Woolner said. "We've raised about $8,000. Not a ton of money, but it at least got us started," end quote. Most of the money will go toward dredging, which will get rid of excess sediment and deepen it. Afterward, a clay liner will be placed at the bottom to prevent leakage. Quote, "It's silted in," Woolner said. "Ponds tend to have a life expectancy," end quote. Unfortunately, she said, grant money is not available for the dredging work. An island in the middle of the lake will also be removed, which will hopefully convince the geese that frequent it to go elsewhere. Quote, "Geese and swimming don't necessarily go together," Woolner said. "There's 1,700 acres at the preserve, so the geese have plenty of other opportunities," end quote. Middle Fork was opened in the early 80s. Number two on the list, repair the paved bike path between Prairie View and Lake of the Woods roads at Lake of the Woods Forest Preserve in Mahomet at a projected cost of $40,000. The path was built in 1997. Quote, "It's a relatively short section," Woolner said. "That section has quite a bit of deterioration," end quote. Other areas of the bike path would be repaired later. Number three on the list, road work at River Bend Forest Preserve in South Mahomet. Quote, "The asphalt there is starting to crumble as well," said Woolner of the road that was built in 2005. We have a proposed budget of about $40,000. We might hike that another $20,000 if the referendum is approved," end quote. Number four on the list, replacing the roof on the Isaac Walton cabin at Lake of the Woods. Quote, "That's something we've had in our plans for a while," Woolner said. "If not our first year, if the tax hike is approved, then the second year," end quote. The work is budgeted at $55,000. Quote, "That might go up," she said. "We're talking about going to a metal roof that would hold up longer," end quote. The cabin is rented out to various groups. Number five on the list, roof repair or replacement at Walnut Hill Shelter at Homer Lake. Woolner said a contractor would likely need to be hired to determine what shape the 24-year-old roof is in. There is no projected dollar amount on that project yet. Like the Isaac Walton cabin, a metal roof might be in order, she said. The district also operates Sangamon River Forest Preserve and the Champaign County portion of the Kickapoo Rail Trail. Use of the district's facilities has increased due to the pandemic. Beyond the boardroom, Clifton Larson Allen's Bethany Hearn by Jeff D'Alessio. By now, anyone could fill a few pages with all the downsides of the pandemic-plagued year that's been 2020. So, Bethany Hearn will take a crack at the upsides. Quote, "I learned how to use a miter saw, an air hammer. Who knew these could be so much fun?" end quote, says the Champaign CPA, as well as, quote, "lay hardwood flooring and redo a deck. I started to meet virtually with clients and team members and principal in the Forensic and Valuation Services Group at Clifton Larson Allen. Allen took time out to answer a few questions from editor Jeff D'Alessio in the 48th installment of our weekly Speed Read, spotlighting leaders of organizations, big and small. The last luxury in which I indulged was buying a house on a small lake or pond, as my husband would say, last year. We didn't need a different house, but we fell in love with a peaceful, more private backyard and bought a house we didn't need. It was the best decision we could have made, especially considering how 2020 has turned out. We have had an abundance of home improvement projects to keep us busy and working together. Laying hardwood floors and redoing our deck were two of the projects, and the beautiful backyard to enjoy during quarantine. My philosophy on meeting is, they get a bad rap and are often viewed through a negative lens, but meetings can provide an opportunity to build trust, increase transparency, and promote accountability for a team. When viewed through a creating opportunities lens, almost any meeting can go from being a dreaded commitment to a time for positive impact on people and decisions. The attitude we bring to meetings has an impact on others and the meetings in general. The hardest thing about being a leader is feeling the weight for the success of my team. The most beneficial college class I took was a long time ago. I still remember my cost accounting professor from Northern Illinois University and how he didn't let the blue suit, white shirt culture of public accounting in the 1980s stop him from wearing colorful ties and socks. What did I learn? It is perfectly okay to be me. Thank goodness, because I wouldn't know how to be someone else. When it comes to my single favorite moment of all time in this job, I love what I do. I know that might sound cliche, but I love mentoring others in the business valuation niche I am a part of. I love teaching valuation theory and methodology. I love helping business owners understand the value of their business, and I love helping clients. So, what is my single favorite moment of all time? It has to be when I realized I am in the perfect profession and the perfect firm for me. I can't live without my Nespresso lattes. It isn't the caffeine, although in the morning it's nice to have. It's everything about making the lattes, from choosing the brew. Does it feel like Hawaii Kona day or maybe pumpkin spice? To frothing the coconut milk, enjoying that first satisfying sip, and even holding the warm mug. Funny story. I wasn't quite as alert as usual making my coffee the other day. I got the milk frothing no problem, but after I pressed the button to brew the coffee, I realized I forgot to get a mug. That jolted me awake more than the caffeine ever had. As far as my one unbreakable rule of the workplace, I think assuming positive intent goes a long way in how we work together as a team and trust each other. Everyone makes mistakes or has a bad day from time to time. But when we assume positive intent, we start with the view that others mean well and gave their best, rather than jumping to conclusions. Sometimes it can help us see that maybe the other person is struggling and in need of a little grace. This is Lynn Curry reading the News Gazette for Monday, November 2nd, 2020.